The Irish Times, election 2011.
I'm Hugh Linehan, and you're listening to the Irish Times election 2011 podcast. Later, Barry Roach looks at the battle in the Fine Gael stronghold of Cork North West, and Stephen Carroll will be casting his eye over the very long and very male list of candidates now confirmed as running in this election. But first, I'm joined by media analyst Kevin Rafter of DCU to talk about the party political broadcasts. So, Kevin, let's have a listen to what Fianna Fáil are doing with their first broadcast, which is going out on radio and TV at the moment.
If people think that this election is just about swapping one crowd for another and that will solve our problems, then I think we're all sadly mistaken.
We've seen them now from Labour, from Fine Gael and from Fianna Fáil. I suppose the first question is, does anybody really pay any attention to them apart from political nerds like you and me?
People do pay attention to them. I did a study 2 years ago which looked at political advertising, and I suppose the thing about party political broadcasts, it's the only opportunity that the political parties have to advertise on television and radio because political advertising is banned in Ireland. And what we did in the study is we tested public opinion in relation to political advertising and also asked people, well, do you remember the party political broadcast from 2007? And what was surprising was that over half of the respondents said yes. So people do notice them. Whether they take notice of them is another matter. And in the same survey, the general response to the Irish party political broadcast in 2007 was they were boring and they were dull. I think there is an interest, as there is, in politics, and people use the visual and telly in particular after the main evening news. It's there, it's a big audience, and people do stay with the broadcasts and they watch them. But whether they shift opinion is an open question. It's not just here. There's been studies done in the UK as well. And the general view in the UK would be as well that the parties aren't really taking advantage of this opportunity to connect with the voters through television and radio.
Well, I'm interested that they even have the level of impact you say they have, because my perception certainly has always been that it's an opportunity to put the kettle on before the news, you know, those sort of 5 or 5 to 7 minute slots when these messages come up. But just to look at the ones from the main parties, which we've seen already this time, to my eyes, they're pretty unimpressive. Labour, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have all taken different approaches. Maybe the Fianna Fáil one was the most striking, or the one which has elicited the most reaction so far, which very much hones in on Micheál Martin.
Part of that is also you, because he's new, you know, he's the new leader. We've seen Enda Kenny before, and we've seen Eamon Gilmore before in the European elections and with Gilmore and Kenny, and the last general election with Kenny. So I suppose there's a novelty value with Micheál Martin as a party leader. And Fianna Fáil were using their broadcast as an opportunity to connect with the public and tell a little bit more about who Micheál Martin is. They've seen him as a minister for many years, but who is he as a man, as a, you know, his background? And you get the reference to his father, the bus driver, and his father, boxer.
My father was a bus driver. And this here, the statue where the busman's hut was a location that he often came to, dropped off the bus here. We'd often meet him here. And for us as children growing up, this was one of our most favourite spots in Patrick Street as a result.
You could see the strategy there was they wanted to personalise and to connect Micheál Martin to the wider public.
More of an
broadcast.
American style, I would think, in terms of it's about the person, my personal story, my struggle, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but my own view on that would be if you're going to go and that route, well, do it properly. And I think that would be one of the failures and one of the weaknesses I would see with the Fianna Fáil broadcast. It should have all been about Micheál Martin. It has the obligatory walkabouts, you know, the meeting with ordinary people, voters on the streets. Those pictures are seen in the television broadcast. I think they should have stuck purely to Micheál Martin and said, who I am. They did a little bit of that. I think if you were in the States, it would have been, you know, his life story in those, I think it was about just over three minutes of a broadcast. It would have been all about him, the man. They did a little bit of that. I think the difficulty with all of these broadcasts, one is they're too long. 3 minutes is a lot of TV.
Sure.
How many other, and they're ads, remember, they're commercials. How many other ads do you see on TV that's 3 minute duration?
Is the fact really that the format then derives from a previous era and perhaps, you know, the broadcasters and the legislators should look at the structures in which people tell these messages.
Yeah, I think the authorities and the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, and I think the legislators have been incredibly conservative in their approach to television advertising, radio advertising, party political broadcasts. There are two issues there. One is in relation to political advertising. We'll park that for a minute and let's just look at party political broadcasts. I think there could have been greater imagination used. I think they could have shortened the duration. They could have given the parties more slots. on radio and television, and I think it would allow the parties to have experimented. So you might have the longer slot in the evening on TV, but there might have been shorter slots during the day where they could focus on a particular issue or a particular message, maybe for 40 seconds or for a minute. I think that will have to happen, because I think the internet is going to drive that. Because we're seeing on the internet different variations of visual ads, which
the
parties
have
to do.
Sure, you can do it at any length you want in the appropriate space at the appropriate time, and you just bang it out there. Although I wonder how much of that we're seeing on the internet. I might ask you about that in a minute. But just looking at the Fine Gael, quintessential Irish party political broadcast, I think, the government are rubbish, we'll save you, vote for us.
Yeah, and somber music, and, you know, they all share the features of, you know, they're all rotate around one man, as we are in this election, and the main leader's been men. So they all focus on the party leader. They all focus on connecting with voters, so you have to have them out and about, shaking hands. I think in the Labour one we do see
some... What sort of a message does that send anyway? I mean... Who cares?
I think what's going on, they're all obviously well-structured in terms of professional advertising agencies. They're coming in with their pitch, their ideas, and then you have the party handlers who are sort of saying, maybe we need to pull back. No, we don't want to say too much. And I think you've probably too many cooks here in terms of shaping the broadcast and shaping
the
message.
So you end up with a vacuous nothing, really.
And then you end up with a bit of everything. And you're right in saying, you know, the obligatory features of the Irish party political broadcast, you know, the talking head party leader, the party leader out shaking hands with man, woman, maybe kissing baby, a bit cliched maybe, I don't think there's too many of those this time. Maybe an extract from the most recent party conference, you know, rallying the troops.
The party faithful rise to their feet, yeah, in unanimous acclaim.
The Labour broadcast opens with Eamon Gilmore in front of the troops.
One Ireland of women and men, old and young, gay and straight, all equal, farmers and business people, private sector and public sector.
This is one Ireland.
But there is a kind of vacuous soap powder mediocrity to these clips. I'm not even sure what to call them. Do you call them ads? Do you call them messages? Do you call them programs?
Well, that's whether, you know, the party political broadcast. It's not an ad.
You know, in the UK, they've got some of the best film directors in various political parties.
They've done very stylish productions in the UK. They've brought people in who, you know, filmmakers. There hasn't been a real tradition of that here. What surprises me this time is that Labour and Fine Gael didn't actually go with negative ads and just tell the story of the last 2 years.
And
visually.
Why do you think they didn't do that?
I think a degree of caution. There is a degree of caution around negative advertising, although the academic evidence is mixed. People don't necessarily always repel against and find it offensive.
I always wonder about that received wisdom that people are revolted by negative advertising. If they're so revolted by it, why do people in the United States keep doing it?
There's a very effective one was used in an Australian election where it was a party leader who's and his face, and then you could see the Pinocchio, the nose was just growing on screen as the number of broken promises was coming up as a visual on screen. It was very, very effective. I'm surprised Fine Gael and Labour didn't go negative. There are some very effective negative ads on the net. There's one which was obviously done by a Fine Gael supporter to the music of Send In the Clowns, and it has people like Bertie Ahern and Brian Cowan, and the music fades every so often and they come up with a statement which we've turned a corner. The parties were too conservative in terms of, I think, adopting that approach with the mainstream television audiences in terms of mainstream broadcasting, and I think that's a mistake. Yeah. And I would hope that between now and the next election there will be a serious rethink about the broadcasting legislation and this fear of television and radio advertising of a political nature. Like, we're a grown-up people. Why can you advertise certain products on television and politicians can't have access to sell their products and sell their messages? What's so wrong with that?
Well, there is the point of money equals power. There has always been a fundamental point in our democracy and in the UK that you can't just buy airtime.
No, but you put limits in place. Nobody's saying you're free for all, but in many, many countries they have paid political advertising around election time, but with very strict limits, so it does level the playing field and there are rules in place. So I would hope that we will actually have a look at that, because the internet changes everything. If a party can advertise on the internet with an ad and we can watch television or we watch visual ads on the internet, why not on television?
Well, I think that's an interesting point. Kevin, thanks very much.
Not at all.
The Irish Times, election 2011.
Stephen Carroll, I'm an online journalist in the Irish Times. The number of people running in the general election this year is probably the highest it's ever been. We've had 567. Nominations ended yesterday at lunchtime, and the number could get smaller today if people decide not to compete. In 2007, there was 470 candidates. This year, it's 567. And that surge is largely down to the number of independents, which has more than doubled from about 90 to 202. Most of the parties are running more candidates, with the exception of Fianna Fáil, which is running 30 fewer. It's running 76 as opposed to 106 in 2007. Fine Gael is putting forward 104 candidates, ran 91 in 2007, and the Labour Party has increased its number from 50 to 68. There's just 85 women standing, which represents only 15% of the overall field. The Green Party is probably one of the better parties in terms of female representation. It's running 43 candidates altogether, and a good number of these are women, but it's still running fewer candidates than it did in 07, but just by one. Sinn Féin has put out the same number as it did. And then you've got the Workers' Party, the United Left Alliance, which is running 19. That's a combination of socialist and People Before Profit and parties like that. And the Christian Solidarity Party is added a few late names to the ticket, and they're running 8 people across the country.
The Irish Times, Election 2011, Constituency Profiles.
Barry Roach, Southern Correspondent, Cork North West. It's very much a rural constituency. It's a 3-seat constituency, and it runs from Charleville in the north all the way down around the western northwestern corner of Cork down to Ballingeary in the Midwest, as it were. Very much diverse in terms of affinities between communities. Across the middle you have the Boggara Mountains, and that very much divides. So there's a northern half and a southern half, and not quite, never the twain shall meet, but they're very different. On the last occasion, Fianna Fáil took 2 seats. They went into the last election with 3 sitting TDs contesting 3 places, along with 1 former Fine Gael TD and a sitting Fine Gael TD, so it was very much a group of death. On that occasion, 2 Fianna Fáil TDs won out. Michael Moynihan, sitting TD, and Bat O'Keefe, who had transferred from Cork South Central, and Fine Gael TD Michael Creed, who had lost the seat in 2002, regained it at the expense of his running mate, Gerard Murphy, in 2007. Fianna Fáil initially seemed to be intent on running just one candidate, but then I think realising that they had a problem with they had nobody in the southern end, selected Dáithí O'Donovan, a solicitor from Ballincollig, to shore up their vote around Ballincollig. Fine Gael traditionally have run 2 here, and it's a pattern or strategy that has worked very, very well for them. But on this occasion, they've added 2 other candidates to Michael Creed. So there's a 3-candidate ticket: Gary Canty, a councillor, Anya Collins, an accountant from Mill Street, and Michael Creed, the sitting TD. Labour representative Martin Coughlin, who's making his 3rd attempt to win a seat here. The Greens are running Mark Collins. Des O'Grady, who ran for Sinn Féin in the local elections, is again contesting for that party. And the United Left Alliance have a candidate called Anne Foley from Newmarket. Perhaps one of the more clear-cut constituencies. Fine Gael will win 2 seats here. Fianna Fáil will be happy, I think, to come back with 1. Michael Moynihan is obviously the incumbent and is strongly positioned to take the Fianna Fáil seat. On the last occasion, Fianna Fáil had 52% or 53% of the vote, and even if their vote was to halve, that would still, at 26%, give him a seat. The question is, Michael Creed will obviously top the poll as the outgoing Fine Gael candidate, and the next question really is whether Labour can possibly squeeze a seat here, but I think at 4.9% in the last 2 elections, it's going to be a bridge too far from Martin Coughlin again. He would want to have his first preference vote up to about 12%. He'd want to get a surplus or transfer from Michael Creed's surplus, and he'd want to be ahead of Councillor Derry Canty. I think the moral is the outcome. Stephanie Hill will take the 2nd seat.
That's it for today. Remember, you can follow us on irishtimes.com/election2011 or on Twitter at ITElection. You can get me on Twitter at HLinehan or to my blog, Mechanical Turk, or indeed to the politics blog or the election blog. We come to you so many ways and so many days. Talk to you soon.